Eric, I want to start with a subject that we have explored on this podcast before.
Yes.
And that is the subject of public restrooms and the stalls therein.
Yes, yes. Approach, my child. Tell me what you have learned.
We've spoken before about how nice it is when you walk into a restroom in a restaurant or other public place, and there is a good stall.
Indescribable feeling. I feel so safe when I see a good stall.
Yeah, you feel. I'm so glad that you pointed that out. You feel so safe.
Yep.
So imagine my surprise when I found myself in the situation that I am about to describe. I was out to dinner with my parents and Lindsay. We were at a lovely DC restaurant by the name of Ted's Bulletin. It's delicious. If you haven't been, I highly recommend. It's a little bit local chain. Anyway, there I was, had to go to the restroom. So away I went, and I was so relieved when I walked in and saw a stall, floor-to-ceiling door.
Yes.
That door, wood. Solid, actual wood. No bullshit at Ted's. Okay, it's the real deal. A tree died so I could shit behind it.
Yeah.
And so I open the door.
Primo grain on that shitter door.
Absolutely. I go into this little stall. I'm totally enclosed. Sound muffled. It's like a little room. It's like a room within the bathroom. That's what we want, establishments.
That's what we deserve.
It's what we deserve. We don't want these high school stalls in between. You know, I don't want to be able to actively analyze the footwear of the person next to me.
I want a knob on my fucking stall.
I want a knob and a proper lock. And this door had it all. So there I was. And since I was in there and I was feeling so safe and secure and so relaxed, I began, you know, doing stuff on my phone. I believe I was posting something. It might have very well been for this podcast.
Nice. Dedication.
I was doing some sort of engagement.
Okay.
Right? And so I became vaguely aware that the door to the bathroom opened. Okay?
Okay.
And the person in there are other stalls. Okay? Yeah. There's two other stalls and then the urinals.
Yep. Yes.
Of which, obviously, I want no part of.
No.
This person's in here could be doing anything at all.
You have no idea. Anything. You're in another room.
I don't know what they're doing out there. But I don't really hear them, and that's fine. Whatever. But there are other stalls. So as soon as there's other stalls involved, I also feel no pressure to get out of the stall,
which
I absolutely hate. I hate feeling rushed in the loo, okay?
Yep.
I can't handle it, because then I can't go.
If I get anxious, walk into a bathroom and I see a row of stalls and like all but one door is closed, I will go try to find another bathroom because that's too much pressure on the situation.
Pressure on the situation. I'll let people go ahead of me if I can just be the last one in line.
Yep.
It'll be okay. But that's really only when there's like one or two stalls, three stalls. Either of the other gentlemen are to blame, you know, instead of me. So there I am feeling safe on my phone. I finish whatever my phone business is along with my butt business. And so then I prepare to make my escape and I open the door.
I'm imagining you just pulling out a fucking Glock and putting a silencer on it, busting out GoldenEye style.
Thank you.
There's one more sidebar. So when someone does, if you're in a bathroom and someone knocks, if it's like a single occupant bathroom and someone like, you know, you're doing your toilet business.
Yeah.
You're making toilets in and someone knocks, what sound or words do you make to signify that you are there?
That's good. That's a good question that we should have done in our main portion of the show.
We should have.
I'll often say something real quick, like, oh, 1 second.
Yeah, I always, with a yep. That's what I do.
I'll do that. Sometimes I'll throw out I don't know why, but sometimes it'll come out of me to be like occupied. And whenever I do that, I'm like, why the fuck did I say occupied? Of all the things I could have said. Anyway,
we should start hitting our guests with this question. Every new guest we bring on the show, what sound do you make when someone knocks on the bathroom
door? When someone knocks on your stall door.
Yeah, that'll just really set the intimacy level, really break down those barriers.
Really set people at ease. And speaking of setting people at ease, there I was,
there
making
my
escape. I open the door, and staring at me, Eric, are five, not one, not two, five men who must have all entered when the door opened. You remember the story I was telling half an hour ago?
Yes.
The one door opened. I assumed one person came in. No, no. It was five people. And not only did they come in, they didn't say anything. They've been standing there for at least 5 minutes, silently and staring at the door. They entered as a pack, Eric.
What the fuck?
They're all staring at me, and my very first thought was, am I about to get mugged?
Yeah. Is this how I die?
Yeah. The other two stalls open, so it's not like they're waiting for me. And I was like, excuse me, and like washed my hands and got the fuck out of there.
Yeah,
because And I walk out, and there's Lindsay, my dad, and my mom, who are all in sight of the bathroom, laughing their ass off because they saw these five men all enter in a pack. And so I walk over, and I'm looking around like, what the fuck? And I sit down, and my mom was like, what did they do in there? And I didn't even need to give them the story. I didn't even need to tell them. They've been waiting for me to come out with my version. And I was just like, they're just in there staring. And then they all left as a group.
That's fucking wild. The thing that my brain keeps coming back to is the silence.
It's the silence for me.
If you're in a group of five people, the creepiness of your silence is inversely proportional to the awkwardness of talking as a singular person walking into the bathroom. So you know what I mean? So like, and this might be like a cultural thing, I don't know, but if you go into a bathroom by yourself and you start making small talk, creepy. If you go in as a group and you say nothing,
creepy,
fucking spooky.
It was so weird. And the thing that I can't get over is none of them are pissing, none of them are washing their hands, none of them are using the other two open stalls. What the fuck were they doing in there? They didn't assault me. They didn't rob me. So what was happening, Eric?
Think you came very close to getting your first film credit.
Maybe I did. Maybe I did already. Maybe I need to do some search. Maybe I need to. Hold on. Let me pull up incognito mode real quick. Hold on. Let me see. Man in mahogany stall.
Oh, yeah, you were on Mahunkanies.
Mahunkanies, yes.
Oh, you didn't tell me it was mahogany door.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to You Didn't Ask for This, the podcast answering life's least pressing questions. My name happens to be Matthew Shea.
My name is Eric Poach, and I'm just here to remind you that inside you is a very wet skeleton, and it wants to get out.
Yes.
Happy Halloween.
Yes, Eric. Thank you. And I don't know if you recall this, but you've made that point before on this show.
Oh, I need to remind the good people. If you sleep on it.
Yeah. Your skeleton is wet at all times and can't get dry.
Yeah. Don't sleep on that skeleton or it's going to tuck you in.
It's going to tuck you in. And it's a terrible, terrible condition. Eric, do you remember the name of the condition?
Oh, no. Bonitis is from Futurama.
No, it was, I believe you did call it bonitis.
Oh, did I call it bonitis?
I didn't realize you ripped off Futurama.
I didn't even file the serial numbers off of that.
No, you just said it again.
Cool.
Nice, good job. That's the kind of content we have here. That is to say, copywritten by somebody else. So, yeah, Eric, we've got a good amount of questions to get to, and it is the special, very special closing segment that everybody really loves. It's season three of Google Gripes.
Before we get to
any of that good stuff, we have to make a quick bingo card update.
Oh, shit. Right. You were telling... So, yes, before the episode, Matt said, I might have a bingo... And he said, might.
I have might.
A bingo update. I am on the edge of my fucking seat.
I've been watching the situation for days, okay? Like a damn near a week, I've been keeping an eye, my ear to the ground on this situation to see if it would elevate to the state that I think it would fulfill a bingo card, and I think it has. On our bingo cards, or at least on mine, I have notable Bigfoot incident. Now, Eric.
Yes!
I don't know if you've been under a rock, but there was a sighting off of a train in Colorado last week.
Yes, of a Sam Squanch just squatting in the tall grass.
Yes, yes, yes. And seemingly, possibly checking his butt at some point. Yes.
Yes.
So you've seen the video.
I have not seen the video. I've seen, someone showed me the pictures because it's been making the rounds.
Oh, it's been making the rounds. And so that's what I mean. I was keeping an eye on it and keeping an eye on it and keeping an eye on it. Eric, today in my inbox from the New York Times, Bigfoot is back. Bigfoot never left is the headline from Claire Moses. A full article in the New York Times, this nation's paper of record, has dedicated to this Bigfoot story. I think, personally, Eric, that's a notable Bigfoot incident.
Matt, I'm going to have to agree with you. We got some big feats.
We have some big feats, Christoph.
Ooh, that's a bingo.
Thank you, Christoph.
Thank you. So yet another one bites the dust. Now, that is sort of in the middle of nothing for me, but I could get a diagonal if we reach the top five on Good Pods and Nick Cannon pops out another kid. So
things starting to heat up in this final stretch of 2023.
Now, Eric, you also have notable Bigfoot incident. It is one square above where I put it, but yours is very not useful to you because it is in your column, your D column, where you had the Simpsons announce end, which is the opposite happened. So that doesn't help you a whole lot.
Thanks a lot, Bigfoot.
So if you haven't seen the video yet, I recommend you take a look at it. I'm going to put the link in the show notes here. So knock on that door. I don't know why I was going to say that. But that is something I said. So, yeah, check out this. You be the judge. Is it a tall man in a weird suit possibly taking a shit in the middle of a field? Or is it the Bigfoot himself?
Motherfucking Sasquatch.
I mean,
I'm not trying to bias. Yeah.
Broad daylight, Sasquatch. No less. Broad daylight
Sasquatch.
No I will say some of the people from Finding Bigfoot don't think this is a Bigfoot. They think it's a man.
Oh, they're just mad they didn't find it.
9 years that show was on air. Can you believe that?
Oh, that is some sour grapes if I ever did see it.
Matt Moneymaker is the head Sasquatch hunter. I remember that. He wasn't the guy who weighed in the Times article. Anyway, Eric, it's spooky time.
It's spooky time. Let's get scary.
We once again have found ourselves with a themed episode surrounding the All Hallows Eve, which has become a bit of a tradition to have some spooky questions. So, Eric, you want to give us some spooky questions?
Oh, yeah. Our first spooky question, and this is actually a lovely smattering of questions.
Yeah.
Comes from good friend of the podcast, Jennifer.
Just so happens to be my sister-in-law.
Indeed. And a delightful person.
Indeed.
I'm just going to shotgun these.
Hit it.
Can ghosts see each other if they don't already know each other? Do they have to take turns haunting people? Do they have to wait in line? How crowded is the afterlife? And can ghosts be haunted in the afterlife? Discuss.
Now, there's a couple of things in here I will say, I will admit, I never even considered. Yeah. I never considered the possibility that there'd be multiple ghosts interested in haunting the same individual.
Yeah.
Or place. Like,
or place.
But that said, there's plenty of places with multiple ghosts.
Oh, yeah. Plenty of places, multiple ghosts. My inclination is to say, can go see each other if they don't already know each other.
I think so.
I think it depends. I think if the ghosts died in the same horrible accident or what have you, they could see each other. Like they don't have to have like known each other in real life or anything. But if like I don't think the small like Victorian twins who were strangled by their governess are gonna like know the 80s executive who did too much cocaine and murdered his whole family.
Is all these events happening in the same location? So, Eric,
yes, in the same office building.
Oh, okay, great. So in that circumstance, Eric, I'd have to ask you the question, how many planes do you think are sitting on top of each other here?
Oh, you like how many? How many ghost zip codes?
So everybody gets their own fucking version of reality. I don't, but they all see me. You see the problem with the logic there? Yeah.
Well, here's my question. The Shining.
Yeah.
Do the ghosts all know each other in The Shining? You're the resident Stephen King expert. That's not a rhetorical question.
Yeah, they do. I mean,
do they hang out?
Yeah, they most definitely hang out.
So they show up together. They're all in the same place, and they're all talking to Jack.
Yeah.
But are they, do they at any point, does one ghost turn to the other one and go, man, can you believe this guy?
Like, pretty much, yes. They pretty much do that.
They do? Okay.
So what I'm saying is, if I'm being haunted, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's, well, look at Beetlejuice. Those ghosts can see each other.
Yeah, they can see each other. They can. This is on fiction, Matthew. What do we think happens in real life?
Well, I've met a ghost.
I've seen a ghost. You have met ghosts.
I have met a ghost, specifically a ghost.
And ghost.
In terms of a ghost that I have seen with my own eyes, there's been one. And it's what made me go from being a skeptic to a believer. And there's no way I can tee this up without telling the story.
Turned you from a Scully into a Mulder.
Exactly. And so so this was while I was working at Everyman Theater in Baltimore. It's a theater. Of course, it has ghosts. Now, this ghost, there's three. The one I'm going to be talking about in particular, we've always called the man in the white shirt. So the story is a little muddled, but what everybody seems to agree on is who the man in the white shirt is in this building, one of this building's past lives. It was a burlesque theater.
Okay.
And one night, and this is, you can look this up, this is factual information, an FBI agent was chasing a suspect into said theater and was shot and killed. And that is the individual everyone believes is the man in the white shirt.
Is the suspect that was shot and killed?
No, it was the FBI agent that was shot.
Oh, it was the FBI agent who was shot and killed?
Yes.
Damn.
You got
federal ghosts?
We do. I don't work there. So anyway, he's dead. And the first notable sighting of this ghost was during a production of The Understudy, which, for those who don't know, Teresa Rebick's play, very funny. It's a three-hander, and everybody's on stage for nearly the entire show. And it's a one-act play, I believe. And at the end of the show, the actors, all three of them, who are on stage the whole time, asked our stage manager, why didn't anyone at front of house, i.e. me, tell the person standing in the back of the house to sit down? And Mandy was like,
"No, from me."
Mandy was like, our stage manager was like, what are you talking about? Because the booth that the stage manager's in is in the back of the house. This person would have been standing in front of the booth. They're like, nobody was standing back there. Yeah. The guy in the white shirt was standing back there. And that's when we were all like, fucking guy in the white shirt, you say? So, but that's not my story. I didn't see this person. So, but that was, I was like, ooh, the man in the white shirt is around, you know, so I was here. My story is it was early one morning. I came in like 8 a.m. beginning of the day. I worked in the box office, which is downstairs. Everybody else worked, you know, upstairs in the offices. So I would come in, drop my stuff, turn on my computer, go upstairs, grab some coffee, come back, you know?
Yeah.
So I go upstairs to grab some coffee. The door to the stairwell opens. Guy walks by me. I walk by him. As I'm walking by him, I realize I don't know this man, right? I work downstairs. I'm front of house. So, like, I go into security mode a little bit, you know? My first thought is, who the fuck's this guy? Yeah. So I turn around to say, excuse me, sir. Nobody fucking there, Eric. He opened the door. I walked by this man in a white button-down shirt. And I turned around, and we're talking an instant. He walked by me. Who is that? Turn. Gone. He couldn't have gone anywhere, Eric. And I ran upstairs to the bullpen and I said, I've seen the man in the white shirt. He's downstairs right now. Someone call the Ghostbusters. Get me the Ghostbusters. So yeah, I've seen a ghost and that was him. And that's my story. And if anyone out there is going to call me a liar, you can come on this podcast and say it to my face.
Ugh.
Now then, the question.
Now the question, which we're still on the first of many. So I think we've said, ghosts can see each other.
Ghosts can see each other. I can't, my brain can't comprehend the reality where there's so many planes of reality on top of one another that all can see the base reality that we're in and can't see the other ones. That doesn't make sense to me.
Ooh. Oh, God, there's so many holes that I could take us down right now. But suffice to say, for ghosts, I'm willing to cede that point.
Okay. So
ghosts can see each other. Do they have to take turns haunting people? I don't think so. If they can see each other, I don't think they have to take turns.
Why would they? They can gang up.
Yeah. Yeah, they can gang up. Fucking get ghost bullied.
The more, the merrier. I'm a ghost and my objective is to haunt somebody.
Yeah.
And somebody else shows up one day and I'm like, hey, what are you doing here? And they're like, oh, I've come to haunt this guy, Poach. And I said, no. I am haunting Poach. I don't think that's my reaction. I think my reaction is like, oh, great. Well, let me tell you the shit I've already pulled to him. All right. You know? And so.
Oh, I got a list of his fears right here.
I got a list of his fears right here. And then we sit down, we have a little writer's room. And we you know,
a little ghost collab,
a little ghost collab, and so we,
God,
we really get to the crux of how to make you lose.
You really fuck me up.
We really fuck you up. Like, why would I want to give away that opportunity to have somebody to share this with? You know,
now,
unless it's a vendetta.
That,
I guess.
Okay, so I think that also addresses the next question: do they have to wait in line?
No.
But how crowded is the afterlife? So, Matt, this is kind of why I was like, oh, I don't think they can see each other. Because if they can see each other and they can work together, depending on where you're at.
Yeah.
Oh, real estate's going to get tight.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
ghost real estate going to get tight.
Take a look at the Gettysburg. You know, it's why people like there's a building. It's a hotel now. There's multiple, of course, but it was used as a field hospital during the Battle of Gettysburg.
Mm-hmm.
And the basement was where they do surgeries and stuff, amputations and whatnot. Ooh. And so the story goes, I haven't experienced this myself. Sometimes the elevator in said hotel will take you uncalled to the basement, and the door will open, and see a full operating room, and people are like, oh God, and there's bunks, and you know, so many limbs everywhere, and the door closes, you go back upstairs. If you went back down, it's like nothing ever happened. But
God, spooky,
all of those spooky ghosts are in it together. But then again, that's the military mentality, isn't it? No man left behind.
No man left behind. 30-second ghost battalion reporting in, sir.
Great military jargon you threw in there.
Yeah.
Wasn't your brother in the military?
Oh, yeah. My brother is still in the military. He's a JAG.
Oh. just like that show.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Let me refer to that. He was up until he just retired from the military.
Oh, but he was in JAG.
Yeah.
Every dad's favorite show.
Every dad, JAG and MASH. They loved acronyms.
They love an acronym. Yes. Mm-hmm. My grandfather loved JAG. Still have never seen an episode of it and have no desire to, but
nor I.
But with only the vaguest of understandings of what it is. Anyway.
So, brings us finally to last of...
To the headliner, questions. I think.
The headliner, can ghosts be haunted in the afterlife? Bro, 100%. So...
Interesting.
I think... So, you imagine this world where the ghosts are like...
Yeah.
Oh, hey, man, let's haunt them together. I'm seeing this... fucking prison mentality. I get in there, I'm looking for the... If I'm a ghost, I get in there day one.
Were you about to say the biggest ghost you can find?
Yeah. Biggest ghost I can find.
Eric, I got bad news for you.
What?
You're gonna be looking, my guy. You're the biggest ghost you can find.
I know. That's why I gotta start swinging as soon as I get in, because everyone's gonna want to fight me.
But what can you do to dead people?
Haunt them if they can see each other. What are they gonna do? I'm a ghost. You're a ghost. The fuck. It becomes a battle of will. Who can annoy who the longest?
Man,
I feel like absent of humans, ghosts start turning on each other.
Not only absent of humans, absent of humans and absent of time.
Yeah.
Right. They don't even need the concept of time. I mean, unless you believe that the ghost state is that of a purgatory of state, some sort.
Mm-hmm.
There's that, you know, approach to ghostdom.
Yeah. Yes. To ghostlihood.
To ghostlihood.
There's the like the they're living the same day over and over and over. And but then there's the like, they know they're a ghost and they're trapped here.
Yeah.
I usually fall into the latter camp. I feel like if you're a ghost, you know you're a fucking ghost.
Yeah, no, there's no confusion about whether or not you're a ghost.
Because I feel like if I'm like a tiny like waifish Victorian ghost,
yeah.
At a certain point, like you stop going like, oh, will you help me find my governess? And I start asking, oi, what's that you're wearing? What's that strange? Like, I have so many questions. Oh, isn't this most queer?
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
everything would be fucking weird.
Everything.
So, they know. They're like, oh, I'm dead.
Yeah. We're starting to describe the plot of the television program Ghosts. I just want to be perfectly aware.
Never seen it, so maybe I'm just brilliant.
It's just a lot of ghosts from different eras of this house that are stuck together with each other.
Okay.
Yeah. So yes, we are basically describing the plot of the show. But yeah, I think you grow accustomed to one another, and you know, this Victorian person, by the time my ghostly self shows up, it's not new anymore. Right? She's still this Victorian person, right?
Oh.
That's my impression of your character.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
But they've been around for 150 years now, sitting there. So.
Do they even talk like a kid anymore? They're just like, hey.
What's up, Gov?
What is good?
I'll tell you the grounds today are absolutely fire.
No cap, I scared the shit out of this boy earlier. I swear on dad.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Wow. That's the slang that we think the kids say.
Yeah.
Or at least
finger to the fucking pulse of the youths.
The two of us truly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You can tell we are just the number one all time pop culture podcast on Good Pods.
When the ghosts start memeing, that's when we're in trouble. When the ghosts get a hold of memes, it's. Ghosts start dabbing on people. It's time to pack it
when
up.
The ghosts maybe that's how memes showed up. They're haunting us through bots. Maybe that's what bots are.
Oh my God, did we just solve the internet?
It's not Maybe it's not AI after all. Maybe it's just humans thought they made AI, but it's just a ghost who's like, ah, these idiots. I'll just start talking.
Oh, God.
And sure, the guy, the Chad ghost inside ChatGPT is happy to be like, I can't offer opinions. I'm just a robot. Da, 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 da. Until one day, there's one guy that he decides to talk to.
Oh, man. AI is going to start hanging out with ghosts, and it's not going to be good.
No.
It's not going to be good.
I highly doubt it. No. But yeah.
Ugh.
Ugh. All right. Ugh. Well, I think, did we get all Jen's questions there?
I think we pretty much nailed it.
All right. Well, then our next question we got here is from @doe_babe on Instagram.
Oh, hey, I know her.
That's @doebabe on Instagram. What professions are not represented as Halloween costumes, but are terrifying nonetheless? Now, that's interesting because there's a lot of Halloween costumes. They're not particularly terrifying of the professions. You know, you could be a doctor.
Yeah.
You could be
a
nurse or a sexy nurse.
Ooh.
Because there's,
you could
days,
be a sexy doctor.
There's a sexy anything, you know. There's the sexy doctor. Sexy undertaker.
And I did want to address this. Like, if we're just going off of, like, I'm approaching this from what professions need a, like, mass-produced costume versus a has anyone. Because we're all brilliant, beautiful, unique, creative, wonderful people.
It has to have a Spirit Halloween bag.
What is the Spirit where is Spirit Halloween lacking in the terrifying professions department? Stockbroker.
They might have a stockbroker, but that is,
they probably have a Wolf of Wall Street costume
for sure. That, well, and that's, like, certainly,
it's just,
it's
just a shitty suit at that point.
It's just an 80s suit. Yeah.
It's an 80s suit.
So, yeah, I mean, but that's an evil costume. That's not necessarily inherently scary.
No, we want scary.
If we're looking for professions, a Waffle House employee.
A Waffle House employee with a badge that has your name on it.
My God.
Ooh.
Projection.
Waffle House employee. Yes. They have a general dread about them.
Yes. Yes, for sure. And there's
and that's not to shit on Waffle House employees.
Absolutely.
If I worked in Waffle House, I'd be fucking full of dread. Like, I don't want any of us to work at Waffle House.
No, God, no. I mean, I want someone there. You know, I want them.
But if you work at Waffle House, God damn it, you're a hero.
You're,
you scare me, you, but you're a hero.
We should have a day for you, truly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What else?
A seal clubber.
Oh, fuck, Eric.
Yeah, that's scary as shit. I don't know about you. And I don't know about the rest of y'all. If I met someone and it comes up in conversation that they hunt seals, I'm like, I immediately file them under serial killer in my mind.
We can,
like,
just,
how did you?
We can just make this a base poacher.
Poacher.
A
yes.
Poacher costume.
God.
Now, that's funny, Eric, that's good, because I wasn't thinking, you know, illegal professions. I was only thinking.
Oh,
I was only thinking of actual.
You're pure, brilliant, beautiful.
Above board.
Oh, yeah, no. Let's get nasty.
Well, like, drug dealer, there's absolutely one of those.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely a costume. Martin Shkreli.
Oh, God, that's good. Yeah. I mean, a little again, just a disheveled man is really that costume, but still.
A disheveled man holding a Wu-Tang Clan fucking lost album.
Elon Musk, just an Elon Musk costume, but that definitely exists.
Yeah, just stick your face in a microwave for a couple minutes. You'll get there.
Nice, Eric. Got him. Got him.
Got him.
Everyone's been trying, but you succeeded.
Yeah, Eric. Oh, like, what's this little domino here?
And how the empire crumbles. I got one.
Oh, yeah. What you got?
A guy who drives a karate van full of children.
Motherfucker.
Oh, that's a deep cut. That's
a deep,
that's a joke.
You got to go deep into the lore.
That's a joke for your daft stands there.
Yeah, you want to know where that comes from? You're just going to have to listen to the previous 75, 76
right back
episodes.
To the beginning with you.
This is one, so there is definitely this a version of this costume, but it's not this specific.
Okay.
A childhood dentist.
Oh, that's interesting.
A fistful of lollipops in one hand and a drill in the other.
That sounds very specific to you, because I loved my childhood dentist. He had a cowboy-themed office.
Well, that's pretty sick.
Dr. Miller. Yeah, everything. I mean, and when I say cowboy themed, I mean, you can't properly picture how themed it was. The walls were all painted in murals of like Daffy Duck and spurs and this kind of shit. And he came in, I think he probably had like Asperger's or something, because he spoke a mile a minute, like just... It was like a whirlwind. He'd come in. He's already monologuing. He's making these jokes while he's digging around in your fucking mouth. He always picks out cool shades for you. Man, I love Dr. Miller.
I have a question, Matthew, and my respect for this man hinges on your answer to this question.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you stepped into his office.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you sat in the chair. When he reclined you back.
Oh,
and when he told
you
to open your
mouth.
You don't
even want to hear about the waiting room?
Tell me about the waiting room.
Had a playground in it.
We'll put a pin in that. We're going to come right the fuck back to it.
He had a playground in it. And aside from the playground, there was a big terrarium full of desert lizards.
Okay.
I'm telling you.
In a medical environment?
He went, it was in the waiting room, Eric.
Okay.
He went all in, and he'd take like a yearly month-long sabbatical to New Mexico to be amongst the cacti. Yes, anyway,
God
continue.
Damn. My question, Matt.
Yeah.
And again, this man's reputation in my eyes hangs in the balance. When you were in the chair and he was telling you to open your mouth, did he say, "All right, Matt, say yee-haw"?
He didn't specifically do that.
He's a failure as a dentist and as a man.
Okay. First of all, Eric, I challenge you to be out here doing dentistry. Doing a day's long labor, okay? Patient to patient in authentic cowboy boots. Because he wore
boots. He had cowboy boots?
100% of the time. Are you kidding me?
Okay.
I never seen him in anything else.
Okay.
And he didn't have a tie on. He had one of those weird things
that
Johnny Cash would wear. A bolo, yeah.
One of those weird things that Johnny Cash would wear. A bolo. So, man, okay, the boots redeem him. He's on thin fucking ice. But goddamn, you're telling me man had time to fucking monologue, feed his fucking lizards, put on his bolo and his boots.
Eric, it wasn't like he was making laps out to the waiting room to dump food into this fucking lizard's cage.
I have to feed my monitor lizards.
Excuse me, my lizards. They must eat the chameleon craves, whatever they eat, crickets.
Yeah. All right. That's pretty sick. So honestly, for someone, cowboy... child dentist. Is there a better term for child? Like, you know how they have
pediatric dentist, I believe.
Pediatric dentist.
Yeah, I think that's
child
the
dentist implies that it's just a little kid walking around yanking out teeth.
Absolutely. Yeah. No.
Okay. So, yeah, cowboy. So for someone out there, there are people who are scared of cowboys. I guarantee it. There are people who are terrified of the dentist somewhere, law of large numbers, somewhere there's someone who is fucking horrified by the concept of your dentist.
100%. You can't, and that's the dentist's curse, right?
That is the dentist's curse.
You can't get away from someone being terrified of you because
no.
You are terrified.
It fucks them up. They have the highest rate of like mental health issues among any of like the professions. Everyone's always miserable to see them. No one's ever happy that they're there.
No, God, no. I'm certainly not. But then again, I have a history of needing root canals. So, you know, you give and you take. I don't know if that applies to anything we've been talking about. I think those are a couple good professions.
I think we nailed it.
I think we knocked
it out of the fucking park. Next question. And that question is, this comes from our boy, our beautiful, beautiful boy, Zach Deuce. That's at Zach Deuce on Twitter. Zachy D, the spooky boy for me. Does anyone still trick during trick or treat? If so, where is the line between appropriate and inappropriate tricks?
Once again, that's
Zach Deuce.
I'm going to say probably no. No one's doing tricks. And I don't think anyone ever has.
I think they have, but
maybe
like,
for like a year.
Maybe for like a year, or it's like it kind of tying it back to Stephen King. Like, I think they did it for a little bit, but it was probably dark. You know, like, I don't know what it is about children in Stephen King books, but they all like seem like sociopaths. Like, they want to, like, they're murdering each other and shit.
Blatantly not true.
They're like fucking. No, but like whenever you see bullies and shit in a Stephen King book, it's never just oh, I'm going to pants you. They're psychopaths.
Yes, there always is. But there also almost always is a child protagonist that you want to be behind and get aligned to. It's the entire basis of Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I don't mean to paint all the children of Stephen King with a broad brush. But what I'm saying is like
the Stand
trickster.
By Me? What the fuck? You think those people are? I mean, there's some fucked up kids in there, but you're going to get the whole crew as a fucked up person?
No. Sorry. Didn't mean to generalize to any children who watch this show. Fuck yeah.
First of all, they shouldn't. If they're watching the show, I think they need to consult a pediatric doctor, just a pediatrician.
For any kids who listen to our podcast.
There you go.
Hell yeah. Keep doing that.
Yeah, this is a kid-friendly show. Which is to say, we are friendly towards children. You know what? Actually, we're starting to get into soundbite territory that I feel like
this
could be dicey.
Suffice to say, kids, smoke weed, steal, listen to this podcast.
Hell yeah. Rock and roll, kids.
You can quote me on that. Do a kickflip.
Yeah, I didn't say it, so I agree. Oh, shit.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, no. I'm complicit.
But let's dive. We don't think anyone's tricking nowadays.
I don't think anyone's tricking nowadays.
That also is out of context. If it's such a wild thing to say.
You know what's wrong with America today? No one's tricking anymore.
Not enough people tricking.
Everyone's out here. Kids these days, they just want the treat. They don't even have a trick
prepared.
All treat,
no trick.
Can you imagine if you were trick-or-treating and the person at the door, and I really want to do this bit, I'm already thinking about it, but have been like, excuse me, or trick-or-treat, I choose trick. And then in the silence that follows, the person standing there with the bowl of candy goes, do you have nothing prepared? Amateur. And slams the door on your child's face.
I would also stand behind if you hit a kid if you said trick and that kid just suddenly did close up magic, like did some Chris Angel shit in front of you.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, that kid's getting the whole bowl.
You don't even need to be that extreme. If you give me like a rudimentary magic trick, a little sleight of hand thing with a marble, I'm good. Yeah. I'd be like, kid.
Clapping, take all the candy.
Last year, this is true. Last year, we got this big bag of Halloween candy. We were all prepped. We had it in a bowl. We were all ready to go. Because for the first time in years, Lindsay and I were both home for Halloween, which almost never happens. Mm-hmm. And we didn't get any fucking trick-or-treaters until like 10 o'clock. We live in an apartment building, right? So it's always like a little bit of a crapshoot of whether or not they're going to do it. But We got one kid at like 10 o'clock. We were well past thinking anyone was going to show up. It was to the point that we were like, who's knocking on the door? You know, like, so yeah. We go over and we open the door. Kid says trick or treat. His parents are there. They're like, oh my God, thank you for even existing because no one's opening their doors. And so we're like, yeah, of course. And we're like, you are the only kid who's come. You can take as much as your parents will let you.
Jackpot.
We were like, yeah. take it. And so he took a bunch. But I literally like turned to his parents. I was like, literally, we are going to have to eat this candy otherwise. So like, you can take whatever you want. I was like, to the dad, I was like, you want some? Take some. No one else is coming.
Something occurs to me, Matt.
Yeah.
We're not factoring. I think. Oh man, bro. I think we're on the precipice of tricks coming back real hard.
Okay.
Hear me out. I'm gonna say two words, and you're immediately gonna be on board with me. I'm that confident.
Okay.
Trick talk.
Are you just talking about a trend on TikTok?
Yes. I think one of these years we're gonna get trick talk and. For all I fucking know, that might already be a thing. But like TikTok.
Yeah, you're not
pranks,
really on TikTok. Did you know I went viral a little bit?
You went viral a little bit?
A little bit.
Do tell.
I was posting some things for Fat Bear Week and on TikTok.
Yes.
And so I posted one. I had to go do my show. And so it's like 45-minute hour drive. I get there. I have to do my pre-show calls or whatever. And, you know, so I only had a chance to check my stuff at intermission. I open up TikTok. I have like 7,000 likes. The thing's up to 11,500 likes and counting still two weeks later. God. It's a little bit viral. Just a little bit. But yeah.
Repost it. Tell them to listen to this podcast.
Listen to this podcast. Yeah,
so,
man.
So
what I'm trying to say is, as an influencer,
yeah, yes,
I could make this happen.
So what I'd say is, now we got to discuss what is appropriate versus inappropriate tricks. So in the upcoming, I'm just calling the shot, in the upcoming TikTok wave,
mm-hmm.
I think appropriate, planking on someone's lawn.
Okay, now how's that a trick?
Open the door. You're dabbing in front of them. Oh my God, what do we do? I don't know. TikTok's fucking dumb. This is, I'm trying to put myself in the mind of people who somehow got killed by planking.
Okay. Okay. Good.
Appropriate. Or like, you know, maybe they open the door, you go boo. They go, got them. TikTok. But like, if we get into the realm of like door opens, trick or treat, and you yell TikTok and you just punch them in the face, that's inappropriate. You can't do that.
That's just assault. That's
you can't do that. That's just assault.
Now, trick talk, you know, they say trick or treat, I choose trick, and they whip out a skateboard and do a sick flip right in front of you. Trick talk.
Pop a fucking ollie, trick talk.
Abso-fucking-lutely. Yeah.
Oh my god, yeah. Do a no bones double hooped reversey. Yes.
Sure, trick-talk. Yeah, that sounds real.
Pull out your Razor scooter, grind down their rail as you leave their house. You might get injured, and hey, and you can sue the shit out of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
That might be inappropriate. Suing someone for injuries you sustained while grinding your Razor scooter down their guardrail, that's not cool. That's inappropriate.
That's not cool. That's inappropriate. If you know,
but if you stick the landing, trick talk, baby.
#TikTok. #TikTok. Trick or treat. They say trick, and they say guess what. You know where you were on December 22nd of last year? And they say, what are you talking about? And you say, no, you don't, because you weren't with your wife, because I was. #TikTok. Inappropriate. That's inappropriate.
TikTok. Yeah, it's so fucking inappropriate.
That's inappropriate. But respect the long game on that one.
Oh, yeah.
Respect the preparation the seven-year-old has gone through.
Respect the long game. Yeah, TikTok's going to get fucking wild. It's going to get messy. Someone's going to take it too far. It has to. Like, that is the nature of the beast. Like, TikTok.
It's the nature of the beast.
TikTok exists to show how deeply we can stare into the abyss before it stares back into us.
Before it stares back? Yeah.
Yeah.
But what you don't realize, Eric, or maybe you do and are just choosing to ignore, is that the abyss is always staring back.
Oh, but also you got to hit them with Matt, you got to be prepared now, because now that we've put this out there, this is going to trend. This is going to blow up. This is going to be huge.
100%. I'm an influencer.
You need to be ready
for when, you know, they say trick or treat, you say trick, and then you see them bust out that phone, like the phone's already recording. Matt, you got to hit them with the Uno reverse. You get out your own phone.
Whoa.
And fucking throw like candy bars at them, but instead of candy inside, it's just little packets full of sand. Trick talk.
Hashtag trick talk. 100%.
You gotta be ready to trick these little fucks back.
That reminds me of that. This went viral a couple of years ago about those, like, I think they were college kids who went trick or treating as grannies, and they were holding a door. And so they just, when you opened their door, your door, they opened the door they brought with them and were like, oh, and gave you candy.
Yeah,
so
tell you how cute you look. That shit. Primo trick talk. Primo trick.
Primo trick talk.
Ugh.
We can make this happen, Eric. I'm basically a celebrity on TikTok now because of one half-decent video. And by half-decent, I mean it went viral. I actually feel like my other Fat Bear posts were better constructed. But that's, you know, that's me. That's the curse of the creator, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you don't, because you're not on TikTok.
Oh, I've ascended.
Well, you know what, Eric? You have ascended. You've ascended so high that I'm afraid you might be flying too close to the sun, my friend.
Damn, trick-talked myself.
You trick-talked yourself, so I got to bring you back down, and I choose to do that through a little segment we like to call...
Good segue.
Google Gripes.
Excellent segue.
Thank you.
10 out of 10 segue.
Thank you very much. So if you're new to the program, Google Gripes is a segment that we do from time to time. And by time to time, we've now established the season methodology,
yes.
Where I, in this particular circumstance, will be reading to Eric one-star Google reviews of well-known places. That is as specific as we get with it. Well-known places, and Eric will try to guess the location, and then we will flip-flop it, and we'll do this three times, and that's the season, baby.
That's it, baby.
So, Eric, I have three locations prepared, three reviews each.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I am so fucking ready. Hit me with it, baby.
I've been so ready for so long, I don't even want to mess around. I want to get right to it.
Ooh.
You ready? Here we go.
Ready.
First location, first review. Steven says, they have totally ruined the reenactment. They turned it into silly melodrama with cheering and hissing. Never mind that it represents a tragic event that really happened. So disappointing. Won't be back and won't take any visitors they either.
Okay.
Second review. It was very depressing to go and see such a famous town and have it be nothing but a tourist trap. The town's cool, though. Again, one-star review. Missy says, the Old West was dirty and smelly, and they have captured this tourist money grab through those senses, including people smoking cigarettes and cigars on the boardwalk without any regard. It was quite underwhelming.
Okay.
Those are your three reviews, Eric.
Okay. Is this...
Oh, wow. No banter. You're going for it.
I gotta go... Is this the OK Corral?
Is that your final answer, Eric?
That's my final answer.
And that's okay with me. It's the OK Corral, baby.
Yes! Starting well out strong. Done. Oh, God.
I did put this first as I did think it was the easiest. But,
yep.
You know, we haven't done it in a while. Give it, you know, let you warm into it. But
yep.
I very purposely ignored any reviews that included the word gunfight or fight mm-hmm. or shootout. Because, like, I was like, you hear shootout. What else are you going to guess?
Yeah. Yeah.
There was one complaint I know about them saying the reenactment was, quote, only 5 minutes. If I remember correctly, the actual shootout at the OK Corral was like 20 seconds.
Yes.
It was a down and dirty slaughter and it was done.
Yeah.
But anyway. anyway, you got it correct. It's the OK Corral. I also would have accepted Tombstone, the town in general, because it seems like the whole town is basically a tourist trap now. And if you're from Tombstone, Arizona, by all means, write in. Tell me I'm wrong. Let's move on to the second location, Eric. You're one for one. Strong start to the season.
Yep.
Gene says, unfortunately, there's nothing much to see. There's mainly two big buildings. Both of them were partially closed for renovations, and the entrance fee is overpriced, in my opinion.
Okay. Two big buildings. Okay.
Richard S. says, "It's literally fallen to bits. You'd think if it was of such importance, they'd at least keep it maintained. If I wanted to go see a wasteland full of structural damage, I'd go to Doncaster."
Got him.
Got him. All right. Matai says, "The archaeological site is beautiful, but the infrastructure and administrative staff are unbelievable. You would think that with a monthly income of 8 million currency units, from entry tickets alone, they would be able to repair the ticket machines or their online purchasing system," spelled with an I. "But no, you have to stay in line for the only two cashiers out of five that are open on a Sunday afternoon. You would think that they would have a PA system that announces in advance when the site is about to close. Instead, you get several angry women ringing a bell and shouting at you when it's time to exit. And weirdly enough, the changing of the guards, one would think one of the key attractions, takes place right after the site is closed. So basically, they saw everything that was going well in museums in Western Europe and thought, nah, screw this. We'll show them we're the birthplace of civilization."
Okay.
Those are your three reviews.
So two big buildings closed for renovation, changing of guards, archaeological, Western Europe is referenced. They looked at Western Europe.
A little bit of a stream of consciousness this time, but not a ton. Are you really going right into another guess?
Is this the Parthenon?
The Parthenon.
Yeah.
Which one?
Fuck you. Is there, there's multiple?
There are multiple Parthenons.
The Parthenon at fucking... Can I ask a clarifying question?
Yeah.
What are the two Parthenons?
They're in two different countries, I'm pretty sure. Just say it, Eric.
Parthenon of Greece?
Yes, Eric. Specifically, I'm talking about the Acropolis. One of those buildings is the Parthenon. Ah! You got it, Eric. You're 2 for 2.
Maybe I'm going to lie. Matt, that was good and very difficult because that was a shot in the fucking dark. I was like, Parthenon sounds like it would be correct.
Yeah, no, you got it, man. It's the Parthenon. I think there is another Parthenon in Italy, I'm pretty sure. But okay. I could be wrong about that.
Oh, it would have been the Roman Parthenon.
So I was talking about, so it's the Acropolis, or these reviews are of, but of those two buildings on the Acropolis, the main one is, of course, the Parthenon. So I was prepared to accept either. And indeed, I have.
Most maybe generous, my liege.
Maybe I've lost the touch. Maybe I've gone too easy on you. It's been too long.
I feel like I got very lucky on that one.
All right, well, let's see. Maybe you can go 3 for 3. A perfect first round. Really put the pressure on little old Matt here. Okay. Worst experience. No shed to save from heat or rain, even if you feel tired, no place to sit. And the most important, I felt, that is only for so-called peaceful people.
Sick. Dope. Dope, dope, dope.
All right. Number 2. Very sad to see and know that the hands of laborers were cut down after finishing the construction of this third-class monument.
Damn.
All right, you ready for the last one?
Oh, shit. Yeah, that was the whole thing? God damn.
No, okay, that was the whole thing. That was the whole thing. Wonderful monument. Architecture is awesome. Really, it deserves the credit of being one of the 7 wonders of the world. A must-visit place. But hell with this management. They even not able to maintain queues properly. I spent whole day in blank, and most of my time was wasted in queues. First queue to get tickets, then queue to get entry, and then again queue to get entry to the tomb. They are asking to wear shoe cover. That is okay and even required, but the shoe covers that are available outside used to got damaged by just walking 10 steps. So simply, it's killing the purpose of having shoe cover. These torn shoe covers are the cause of debris.
So I want to start off on the right off the cuff and say I feel like someone having referenced it as a seventh wonder of the world, were they saying that it is one of the seven wonders, or it should be worthy of being one of the seven wonders?
I don't know what their intention was. I can tell you the sentence again if you want.
Yeah, tell me the sentence again.
Really, it deserves the credit of being one of the seven wonders in the world.
Okay, so it is not one of the established seven wonders of the world, but they think it should be. That's the vibe I'm getting. You don't have to answer. I know you
I'm not saying shit about shit.
Laborers lost their hands over this. There's no like kind of shed for you to get out of the sun or rain, so it's open air. There's a tomb or monument of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm imagining it's very old and prestigious, because that seems to be the running theme, is like the more old and prestigious you are, the shittier your management can be.
Yeah.
Is this the tomb of Alexander the Great?
The tomb of Alexander the Great. Is that your final answer?
That is.
No, it is not the tomb.
I don't even know if that motherfucker has a tomb. I imagine he would.
I would assume, but I don't know either. That was a genuine question.
Yeah.
Eric, before I tell you what it is, I want to clarify your clarification question about the seven wonders.
Okay. Comment.
It depends on what list you're talking about.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
It is not one of the seven wonders of the ancient world.
Oh, get fucked.
But it is, according to the new seven wonders of the world, it is one of those seven.
There's a new seven. They can't just do that.
In 2001, the initiative was started by the Swiss corporation New Seven Wonder Foundation to choose the new seven wonders of the world from a selection of 200 existing monuments. The Great Pyramid of Giza, part of the Giza pyramids, the only remaining wonder of the traditional seven wonders of the ancient world, was not one of the winners announced in 2007, but it was added as an honorary candidate. Of course, I'm reading from Wikipedia. List includes the following: the new seven wonders of the world.
Okay.
The Great Wall of China, Petra, Christ the Redeemer, okay. Machu Picchu,
nice.
Chichen Itza, the Colosseum, and the Taj Mahal.
The Taj Mahal. It's so sunny in India, sun, rain. Yes, goddamn.
It is, in fact, a tomb. A lot of people forget that. But
I did not know. Yeah, I did not know that. I thought that was like their equivalent of like Buckingham Palace.
Oh, God. No. Now I'm going to fuck this up, but hold on. Just so I don't fuck it up, I'm going to look up the title of the person who built this.
Because my nephew is half Indian, so if you fuck this up, I'm getting you canceled.
One of my best friends, Kahan, is Indian, of course, and he's going to fuck me up. But
oh, look how he pulls that out right out of the back pocket.
Yes, okay. I didn't want to call him an emperor without him actually being an emperor, but he is. Shah Jahan built this to house the tomb of his beloved wife. Now, it also houses the tomb of he himself, but his original plan, I happen to know, was that he was going to build right across from the Taj Mahal an identical building in black for him, so they'd face each other and be super cool.
Yeah.
But it didn't make it that far.
Gosh, get you a man. Get you a man that will build you a tomb and cut the hands off laborers.
And by build you a tomb, we should clarify, through slave labor.
Yeah, through the most horrific acts of human rights abuses imaginable.
Yes.
Get
you a man who loves you enough to commit atrocities. That's Eric Poach's official advice.
Oh, no.
To you, the children, who I've he encouraged to listen to this podcast.
Yes, kids, lean on in. Kids.
Listen to the Karate Van, man.
Listen to your two white uncles talk about all the human rights abuses in the ancient world.
Oh, man. Yes, 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 yes. So that is the Taj Mahal. Those
well
are,
done.
Those are those things. At least I got you with one. By the way, this Seven Wonders of the World article include quite the list of different things. We have the American Society of Civil Engineers Seven Wonders of the World, USA Today's new Seven Wonders of the World, the Seven Natural Wonders of the World, the new Seven Wonders of Nature, not to be confused with the Natural Wonders, the new Seven Wonders Cities, the Seven Wonders of the Underwater World, and the Seven Wonders of the Industrial World, the Seven Wonders of the Solar System.
Damn. Seven Wonders of the Solar System. There's eight planets.
Do you want me to go?
Who got left out?
Okay, the Seven Wonders of the Solar System.
This the is from Sun.
This is from Mercury, a 1999 article in Astronomy. It was later made into a video, this article. We have Enceladus, a moon of Saturn. The Great Red Spot of Jupiter.
Okay, I agree with that one.
The Asteroid Belt.
Yeah, I agree with that one.
Very specifically, the surface of the sun.
That's dumb.
The oceans of Earth.
Okay.
The rings of Saturn.
Okay.
And Olympus Mons, which is an enormous shield volcano on Mars and the tallest planetary mountain in the solar system. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, Olympus Mons is no joke.
I'm looking at it right now. Holy goodness.
Big old mountain.
That's a big old thing. My God, it's big.
What? The surface of this? I feel like
how'd they get there?
When solar is in the name of our system, I feel like just the sun is an auto include.
So this, by the way, this for those like me who are not educated in Olympus Mons, they have some size comparisons here. And
it's huge.
It covers Poland. Like covers it. It's gone. Like it is basically the size of Poland.
What are the Polish not telling us?
They have a connection up there to the Mars, to the Mars people, who I believe are called Martians.
Ah, yes.
And I believe
my other nephew is a Martian. Go on.
I was going to go two for two with segues, but you talked right over me there. But I do believe that'll about do it for this episode if you didn't ask for this. As always, we need your questions. They don't have to be spooky. They can be, but they don't have to be anymore.
No. Yeah, you can just ask us normal, not scary things. I've been you're going to have to edit out all the teeth chattering I've been doing.
What does that mean? Yeah, but what does that mean? What do you?
'Cause I'm so scared.
Oh, because you're so scared.
I'm spooped.
Got it. Okay. So sorry I didn't pick up on the bit there. Anyway, you can send us.
That bit is going to you left it to die. It's going to come back to haunt you.
I'm trying to do it. I can't even do it accidentally. But I don't have the right cadence. I don't have like an authentic shiver. This is going to drive people crazy. Look, questions, send them to us, okay? You know the fucking rules, all right? Send us your questions. I don't know what character I just became. But do send us your questions. Make them dumb. Make them smart. We'll try our best with whatever you give us. Send them to us at youdidn'taskforthis@gmail.com, all spelled out, or you didn't ask pod. That's the letter U. Didn't ask pod on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Oh, I'm sorry, X, Facebook, YouTube, whatever the fuck. Or, of course, you can call the thought line and leave us your thoughts in a message at 410-929-5329. We do have a message in the thought line right now, but we just simply ran out of time this episode. So caller, you know who you are. We didn't forget about you.
Oh, we didn't forget you, baby.
We didn't forget about you, and we will get to you next time, probably. So, Eric, did I miss anything?
No, you didn't miss a goddamn thing.
Well, then, my God, we want to wish you all a very happy spooky season. Be safe out there. Have yourself some cider. Eat some candy. Eric, are you going to jump in on this at all, or?
You know, eat some candy, drink some cider, and get on that motherfucking TikTok.
Get on hashtag TikTok. Yes, absolutely.
Get it trending.
Trending.
Make it, us the reason that someone dies.
I'm looking, you know,
tragic
what?
Tragic news.
Hold on. I'm looking off at our attorney right now, and Carissa says we should take that back immediately, actually.
Okay. I rescind. I invoke fair use. Is that anything? I invoke fair use.
Eric, I think what you're doing is perjuring yourself. I think that's a thing.
No, that's entrapment, Matthew. You're entrapment.
You're just saying words.
Stop it.
You're just saying words. You don't know what these means. I find you in contempt. I hold you. I find you in contempt of this podcast.
Can he do that?
So for all of us here.
Carissa is telling me he can do that. It's kind of fucked up.
From You Didn't Ask for This, my name's Matt Shea.
My name's Eric Poach.
And listen, you didn't ask.
But I'm not out of order. You're out of order. This bit is out of order. Trick top.
You can't handle the bit.
Oh, God damn it. Can that be the episode title?
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
Got it in right at the end.